Welcome to Straight Talk. This is Randy. Today I'm talking about fellowship. When a person begins to follow Jesus, our Lord God wants his narrow road followers to take responsibility by making major life changes. No longer can you just be a selfish individual, you know, following your dreams and living your life like Hollywood or whoever tells you to do, but instead, you're required to enlarge your perspective and live in the counterculture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find this in Acts chapter 2, where it illustrates the immediate change God wants, as this historical account reveals how 3,000 strangers turned from their sin and followed Jesus. It was not an individual or just a personal religious experience. It was a transformation to a community of life involving all of Christ's followers. In other words, it was an immediate alteration of thinking and living. Their new life was based in four major areas. The scripture says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. This is from Acts 2:42. So first off, these strangers from all over the Roman Empire took a risk and immediately joined the church. In other words, the rest of the local Christians who followed Jesus, and gathered with them to learn from the church leaders the teachings and the mind of God. They didn't go home for a private Bible study to decide for themselves what they'd like and what they didn't like, what they would follow and what they didn't follow. No, they did not start a private family worship time as they preferred it with their own children or friends. No, they did not start a new small group that fit their fancy. This is not what Christianity is all about. No, they submitted to the leadership and humbly listened and learned how to follow the Lord Jesus. The apostles' doctrine was the teaching of Jesus' commands. You can see this in Matthew chapter 28, where it's clearly defined. They joined the Christian collective and became important parts of the ministry. They immediately fellowshiped with their new community. They didn't drag their feet or make their choices later. Now, the second thing they did after they followed to learn is they also joined in and fully committed themselves on that very first day, not months later, but that very first day, they fellowshiped and joined in the true fellowship, which is the real response of love to one another, as commanded throughout the New Testament. In other words, God expects immediate action on your part, and he expects you to love, which is not a feeling, but fellowship in action. It's that new lifestyle. And not only did they join the Christian crowd and learn the teachings and involve themselves in fellowship, they also joined the community by gathering in the homes of the fellow disciples that lived in the area. They went and had meals together. They celebrated the Lord's Supper as a church. They became friends. And also, they joined the large groups together with the rest of them, and they prayed for God to continue his mighty work of salvation to others so that they would come and know the truth like they also got the truth. But for this talk, we need to just look closer at the responsibility of fellowship. The others will be from another lesson. You must participate in fellowship. And you have to understand this is not an option, but it's the will of God for your life if you're a narrow road follower of Jesus. So our fellowship together is going to be defined from the Greek word koinonia. It means partnership. It means close social union, deep communication, and common sharing. Like a piece of plywood that glues together, and if it pulls apart, it holds and hurts and scars the Christians, because God wants your love and friendship to be that close together that it hurts you. So first, let's look at the words of Jesus. In John 13, he said, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." And then he says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So from Jesus' own words, we see that fellowship is a command. And so I want you to see how comprehensive the Bible is in its love one another commandments. There are many given clearly defined in Scripture. First, the Lord clearly demands that we, his followers, are to love each other. This is not an option, but his orders to us. And he explains how far this is to go into our lives. In John 15, he says these words, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And he finishes with these thoughts, you are my friends if you do what I command. So what the foundation of fellowship is based on is on the fact that Jesus commands us, does not just ask us to love one another. Remember in John 13 and John 15, he makes it clear. And also, as we understand that God is love, which is what 1 John 4:8 states, we then have our standard of measuring or our measuring rod to give us very specific instructions of what this means. How do we love? He does not mean to just for us just to be kind of nice and friendly and say hi. God is the truth of love. So if you want to understand love, you have to look at God. How does he love? If you are practicing love, you must measure yourself to the absolute standard of truth of what God loves and how he loved and what he says and explains to us to do from his word, the Bible. What the Lord does, says, and illustrates about love is really clear as we see Jesus Christ. See, Jesus makes it very clear. He says there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Self-sacrifice is what love is according to God's standard. We give up of ourselves. And that's what the word agape is from the Greek. The word is a term which explains this type of love, which is caring and giving with no strings attached. Or no, you know, selfish demands or demand for, you know, like return a favor or a gift. It's selfless giving. Love is given without trade or need of a return gesture or a pat on the back from somebody. Love is just giving without expectation. Now, this is the foundation of how to measure, you know, genuine love. Therefore, his intent is that the church, his people, his true followers, yeah, those of who are, you know, miraculously born again by the Holy Spirit and are members of his eternal family, we are to express his love to one another, and through it, God wants to make the world around us jealous and desire to have what all those crazy Christians have together. That's how strong this love has to be seen amongst us. Not to them, but amongst us. And one more thing about this concept. A genuine love is defined as, well, providing for and protecting the people that you love. Again, understand this. It is a measurable and visible action. It's not something that just hides in people's hearts or imaginations. Fellowship, then, is this umbrella, this molding of the biblical opportunity to express God's love to fellow believers. It's the community of actions of fellowship that are expressed in what loving one another is all about. So to be concise, God commands his people to love one another. And then he breaks down how to do it with his many descriptive one another commands that are laced throughout the New Testament. There's at least like 24 of these real simple statements that express what true fellowship is in loving one another. So let's start with what it is to take place or what we're to do when we gather together as a church for worship, for example. Paul, he instructed the new local church of his day that was founded in Corinth, Greece, with these words from 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. He said that all prophecy, which means public speaking and preaching the word of God to the fellow Christians, is for all of them to fellowship together by encouraging and comforting each other when they gather together on Sunday. They're all to take part in helping to build up and encourage and comfort one another, not just the preachers, not just the pastor. And so the rest of the one another commands outside of this fellowship are actions that are practiced, mostly without, say, speaking publicly, but with this agape attitude and actions cemented together still, and practiced, though, no matter when and where Christians are together. In other words, whether all or part of the church is gathered together as a family in one place, or whether you're with some Christians in their homes eating a meal, or whether you're together at a coffee shop chatting as fellow believers. And this is why, then, that this is the completely new way of life, because it's a complete countercultural lifestyle created by God for his followers. And it really does set us apart from the world under Satan's control. See, God intends to have a new society on earth. He really does. He's called us out, but still here to show him what he's like. Just like he has in heaven, he wants us to have this love relationship. Today, we are scattered in local churches all over the world. And in the same way that our country, the USA, puts ambassadors in other countries to be a voice or give concerns of who we are, God has established the local churches as the embassy of the Lord Jesus. In other words, allowing the foreigners and the enemies of God around us to see what they are missing and know the liberties and the goodness that we have through God Almighty. He loves them and wants them to come to Jesus Christ. But let's just focus on the Lord's command for the worship gathering for just this talk, which is just part one. And so we have to ask a simple question. What is your responsibility when you gather to worship the Lord? Well, first of all, your responsibility is simply this. Fellowship means we give a warm welcome to our fellow Christians. In other words, you don't just rush in, sit down, ignore everybody, pray privately to God, and sing privately to God, and go home privately and say thank you, God. Instead, we're to greet, embrace, or hug one another according to Romans 16:16. And there's other verses that give also that same concept. Obviously, this means to take care as much for our Christian brothers as our own family members. We're to show that we care and show it by how we talk. We easily show our care to our family, but it takes a little risk to do this at church. You must choose to love your fellow Christ follower the way Jesus loves the Christian. You have to reach out to them and show kindness to them. Don't wait for somebody to be your friend. You choose to be a friend. And there's no exceptions in Christ's commands of these 24 commands. You are called to do this. The person you do not like is the first one you must warmly greet and welcome. You must choose to love as Christ tells us to love. If you have a problem with someone, the way it is cured is what Jesus said. It is to lay down one's life for one's friends. Choose them to be your friend, and then choose to do whatever is necessary, whatever you can sacrificially do for them until they know that you love them. Show them every kind of kindness, show them every kind of love you can, and win them. Number two, fellowship means that we humbly bend to the pastor's leadership. The scripture is in Ephesians 5:21 says, submit to one another. It's voiced very clearly, and in the context, it clarifies it by telling the wives to submit to their husbands, children to obey their parents, and so forth. In other words, God has established family roles. That doesn't make a husband more important than a wife or whatever, but he established roles and he has an order of authority that's delegated according to his great wisdom. Humility and servant attitudes are greatly valued by God. So intentionally subordinate yourself under your authorities and help them. God is looking for the humble and those who are willing to serve, not the arrogant and proud. Here's what Jesus said. In this world, the kings and great men lorded over their people. Yet, they're called friends of the people. But among you, it will not be, it'll be different. Those who are the greatest among you, take note, should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Luke 22 is where this is worded. And that's not an isolated, there's many more. Peter adds, for example, these words, in the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you serve each other in, there's that word, humility. And here's why. Peter says, for God opposes the proud, but he favors the humble. 1 Peter 5:5. True fellowship involves submission to God's ordained authorities. Clearly, the scripture gives this over and over again. And yeah, I know, Americans have a lot of pride. So you're going to have to work hard at this, Christian. Yes, you need to obey your pastor's leadership. You need to follow and submit to your ministry team leaders and follow their directions. You must follow, not be the leader. Number three, fellowship means we love other believers enough. We love them enough to warn them of spiritual danger. And what this means is simply out of Scripture in Romans 15:14. The Bible says, admonish, which means caution and warn one another. Okay, so what's that mean? Well, just like any member of your immediate family, whether it's your children or whether it's your brothers or sisters or so forth, Christ expects you to caution and warn other Christians when you see them doing wrong or erring in judgment where they're going to get into real trouble and disobey God or fall into sin or many other things. This is clearly explained in Hebrews 3:13. He says, you must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. This will take love to risk a backlash or rejection. But you know what? Fellowship is expanding your love. Not with the intent of, I'm not talking about condemning or taking control over other people's lives. What we're saying is from Scripture, loving care will drive you to say something when you see a Christian friend in real danger. I mean, come on. If you see a guy driving down a bridge that's going to be at the other end, it's got a hole in it, and they'll fall into the deep and get hurt, you warn them. Same thing. Number four, fellowship means, you know, we love other believers enough to be honest like Christ was and still is. Here's what the scripture says. Tell the truth to one another. Colossians 3:9. Well, Jesus said, first of all, his word is truth. So telling each other the word and helping each other is important. But also be completely truthful to each other and do not try to deceive or hide the facts of your life. You know, truth mingled with grace and mercy allows transparency, you know, in your friendships. Every word must be given through love, not revenge or trying to hurt someone or being prideful or selfish or in fear. Speak truth so you can help one another and show the true love of Jesus. And finally, for this talk, number five, fellowship means we love our fellow Christians by encouraging them to keep on keeping on. In other words, yes, through every situation, don't give up. Keep going. Keep moving. God is with you. God will, the days will change. God is good. He will satisfy His will in your life. The Bible says, so encourage each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells all true believers. His presence releases grace, and this is, which is simply the divine influence on the Christian's heart, causing new holy desires to obey God and giving you the strength and ability to please God. Well, that same Greek term used of the Holy Spirit here is used in this one another command that we have from this idea. In other words, making it clear that just like the Holy Spirit, it's God's will that we come alongside each other. And we do that to invite, to invoke, and to cause each other to desire God's will and the hope of heaven. Hebrews 10:25 commands, and let us not neglect our meeting together. In other words, get together for Bible study, for worship, and so forth. Don't do as some people do, it says, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. It's been 2,000 years since that was written. Believe me, God wants us to press forward and spend time together in fellowship and encouraging one another. We must motivate all believers to obey and trust Christ through the everyday struggles. We must become like individual coaches or mentors and come alongside them and help them and encourage them and strengthen them and love them and help them overcome sin, problems, situations, help them find victory. You know, we must encourage and again encourage each other that through it all, we can and must become overcomers to the glory of God. Okay, well, I need to stop here for this portion. But remember what I'm saying here. Fellowship is living life together as a church, and it means strong partnership with other believers. It means close social union in every amount of your days. It means deep communication, open communication, and common sharing of things. It only works when it is driven by God's love deep inside you. Believe me, there's no political or antichrist social order that's forced upon men that will ever duplicate this powerful life through Jesus Christ. So when you personally take these commands very seriously, when you face them and respond to them, obey them joyfully, when you freely give yourself to your Lord and your church, you will begin to really experience the kingdom of God here on earth as God has established and as Christ wants you to experience. And the world needs to see this reality. Also remember what Jesus expects of you. Here's what He said again. This is My commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love. There is no greater love at all than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are My friends if you do what I command. Will you begin the process of laying down your life for your friends? Because that's who the Christians in the church are. Make sure you don't miss this. Well, don't miss part two. And as always, for more answers, go straight to the book, the Bible. Thank you for watching Straight Talk for Narrow Road Followers of Jesus. Don't forget, you can contact me through klptv.org. I'll be happy to help you in any way to follow Jesus. God bless. Thank you.